these short-term groups, Alpha, Foundations, and Life groups, all of these groups, they change people's lives. And this morning, we're going to be hearing from people in our church who have had their lives changed through some testimonies here at Grace Church this morning. So we've called this our Life Changer Sunday. Yeah, and so what it is, in essence, is we are going to be, as a church, just sharing some of the stuff that's going on here at Grace Church in people's lives. We're going to be hearing from some people who are going to be sharing some testimonies about what God has done in their life over the past year. But first of all, what is a testimony? What is a testimony? So in the dictionary, I went to a dictionary. Yes, I'm that educated. I went to the dictionary and I looked at what is a testimony. So a testimony, there's three definitions of a testimony. It's a spoken statement. So if you're in a court of law, for example, someone would give an eyewitness account, that would be a testimony. It might be evidence or proof of something. So I come home often from playing football, hobbling and a bit pathetic, and I will gain zero sympathy until the point where I show Kim the evidence of the swollen ankle. My ankle has now become like glass whenever I play football and it swells up. So I will gain zero sympathy until the evidence, you've got to see the evidence to get any sympathy. And finally, it might be like a recounting of an experience or an event. And so this morning, all of those definitions will sort of come into play as people share. And we believe at Grace Church that it's great to hear what God is doing in people's lives. It's great to hear some of these testimonies. And I personally, I love it. It builds my faith. I love hearing how God comes through in the last minute. Or actually, they haven't felt that God's come through yet, but they've just felt that comfort and that security. Or it might be where some good stuff's happening in somebody's life and they just know that God's with them in that. And it's great to hear those things. And it just builds our faith, doesn't it? The Bible is full of testimonies. It's full of them. And there's a book in the Bible called John, and John is testifying about the life of Jesus in this book. And near the end, he has an epilogue at the end of his book in chapter 20, verse 31. And this is the reason for a testimony. And this is a great definition as to why we here have a testimony Sunday. These are written so that you may come and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So I'm hoping that this morning, that as you hear these stories, and as you hear what's going on in people's lives, that if you were a Christian, that you will discover more of God's character, that it will build your hope and your faith will rise as you hear these stories. And if you're not a Christian this morning, not only that, but that you will see what is this relationship with Jesus, Malak, all about. And hopefully you'll get a glimpse of that as we go through. Earlier in the book of John, there's a point where Jesus has just died, and the Romans, what they're doing is they're just checking that they've done the job properly. So this is what it says. It's now up on the screen. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. So they were just checking that he was actually dead. They would have broken their legs so they couldn't lift themselves up to breathe anymore. He would have died of suffocation. So that's why they would have done that. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony. His testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may believe. It's a great example of why these testimony Sundays are so helpful, whether you're a Christian or not. But there's three quick observations from that passage. First of all, this guy is just a regular guy. We don't even know his name. So he's just this regular guy. He's probably a soldier, considering the situation. But he's a regular person. And this morning, the people sharing stories, they're just regular people. There's nothing super duper that's happened in their life or made them extra special. They're just normal people like you or I. And also, this man, he didn't have, his story was quite ordinary. His story was quite ordinary. What he saw was not extraordinary at all. Okay, this is just normal Roman practice when they would have crucified somebody. He was just a dead person with blood and water separated to show that they were dead, in essence, after they had been crucified. It's a little disgusting, to be fair, but it's not massively out of the ordinary of what they would have seen. But the question is, why did he see it? Why did he see this thing? Why did he see the water and why did he testify about it? Well, it was to fulfill God's plan. It was to witness what had happened to the Son of God. What the man saw was ordinary. Okay, but it was an extraordinary event of God. So what the man saw was ordinary, but it was an extraordinary event of God who was making history. And although I hope that the people this morning that share, I hope that they dazzle you with some jazz hands, but in essence, their stories, they might be ordinary. They might be ordinary stories because, you know what, they're regular human beings and God works in regular human beings' lives. However, what they are sharing is the extraordinary work of God in their lives. And that's key. And as they come up, you might be listening to a story again. It's not that special. It's not that impressive. It's not that special. I want you to just change your mindset. I want you, in contrast, to be thinking and asking yourself the question, why did God need me to hear what they've said? Why did God need me to hear that? Because, you know, God wants to reveal himself to you this morning. And finally, all these testimonies are true. Yeah, they are events and moments that have happened in people's lives, and they demonstrate the trueness, yeah, and the true faithfulness of Jesus, and that Jesus is true. It might be, they might explain it through a difficult situation, or they might explain it in how they God's in the business of saving people. They might be talking about tough times. They might be talking about comfort that they've felt, or they might be talking about how they have felt the church support them over a period of time. Ultimately, what they are doing is they are giving evidence, they are making statements, and then they are recounting stories of God's true and unconditional love for everyone. So as you hear these range of stories, I want you just to think about these three things. I want you to know these are regular people. Right? Know that these are regular people. They're evidence that God uses regular people. I want you to ask God, what are you speaking to me through these people? What is it you want to tell me? And finally, I want you to see the love of God. I want you to see the trueness of God and how true he is to his word. So we're going to get some people up and they're going to share some of their stories. So first up, we've got Alice. Let's give Alice a big round of applause. Let's welcome Alice.
Thank you. Hello. I mean, Johnny asked me to start first. It was a bit rude, really, but... as I was preparing for this morning and thinking about the last year and just reflecting on it, there were a few kind of themes that stood out to me that I'm going to kind of break up as I talk. And so the main theme, really, that I noticed was to do with trusting God and kind of through that, how he's taught me perseverance and some things to do with mission that I've been involved with this year and how ultimately God is always faithful to me. So some of you may know that I'm part of the Christian Union at university, and through this we have the opportunity to give our fellow students the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel. And for the last year I was part of the team. I was the Bognor rep, which means I kind of stand up for Bognor, and I just love Bognor. And we put on events for students here, and we're part of the wider CU. But we've had different events this year. We did a missions week, which started in Bognor at the beginning of the week. And it was so exciting to see friends coming and new faces coming. And amazing to see God at work at our university. And that started in Bognor. And it just really started something in my heart for events in Bognor. Then over the year, we held different events and we saw God moving. We saw people coming along. and we kind of ended the academic year with camps. We had different summer camps, and one of the kind of highlights of the year was how much we prayed for freshers to come, and we really invested in praying for those freshers that were coming to our university, and some of them are here today. And actually, it was so amazing to see that answered prayer. And on the first Sunday of the year, I ended up walking with a trail of freshers behind me when we were in the funny building. And I was walking along and I was thinking how, oh my goodness, I prayed for this. And they were there and they came along to see you, they came along to church. And actually, it's been such an encouragement to me of that answered prayer. And we've had just a real growth in the community in Bognor this year. We've had this evening called Pudding in Prayer. So we come to our house and we have pudding and we pray together. And actually through that, we've built such a community in Bognor. And it's been amazing to see. And I ended my kind of time on team this year at Christmas with a carol service. It was our second carol service in Bognor. It kind of was a bit of a stress. I was stressed about it because I was trying to finish my third year, kind of end of that first term. And actually, it was so amazing to see how God helped me to balance my time. And actually, by giving up that time for him, he really blessed me in it. And the carol service was a huge success. We had the most people that ever come to an event in Bognor. We had friends that came, my friends that had been reluctant to come. We had loads of people there hearing the truth about Jesus. And that's been a real highlight this year. He also has taught me about perseverance, which relates to that, and also other things. He's been teaching me kind of how I can lean into him. I had a fairly difficult placement this year where I just found it quite difficult. And actually, he taught me that he's the one who gives me my purpose and my worth when there were sometimes people that made me doubt it. He taught me to lean into him and to really trust him in those times. There have been many opportunities just this year where I've had to trust God, but recently I've had to trust him in a whole new way, and I was quite reluctant to share the story because it's a bit fresh and real, but really felt that it was right to share it because God has actually taught me so much through it already. So I actually came recently after breaking up with a boyfriend, and it felt for a while like that was the end of the world. But God showed me how I'd actually been putting my hope and my comfort for the future in this relationship instead of in my relationship with God. And I still don't really understand the situation, but God has been so close and he's helped me to surrender my life to him and trust that his plan is better than mine and that he is good. He has surrounded me with amazing friends who have been by my side, and he has been speaking to me through the word and worship. I think I listen to worship songs in a completely different way, and I sing them in a different way. Just the words are so true. And I've just been challenged that God is with me, that his power is made strong in my weaknesses, and that the growing peace that I've felt can only be a testament to him, my comforter. Because in the highs and the lows of this year, I can look back and see the faithfulness of God. He's been faithful to his promises, and I slowly become more of the person I was designed to be. The more that I trust him, the more that I can find him always faithful. And I wanted just to end with this Bible verse that has really encouraged me recently, from James 1:2-5. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you.
Isn't it great? God, in the tough times, you feel comfort. Praying and God coming through. It's so good, isn't it? Next up, we've got Michael. So, Michael coming up. Michael was baptized a couple of weeks ago, but he just wants to share a bit of his testimony again.
Thank you. I just want to say I can't believe that I'm still here amongst you wonderful people, my new family. Because my life has been a shambles. I was born out of wedlock, spent all my time in children's homes. no family at all. I spent my life with criminals, 50-odd years in and out of prison. I didn't know where I was going. And then on this sentence, I was at a Cat Sea, and I met the Gideons, and I went to Bible study. But when I went to Ford Prison, I wanted to know more about Jesus. So I joined everything that was there. And Grace Church were fantastic. They taught me a hell of a lot. They brought me closer to God as I am. And, you know, I love Grace Church for that. And they've been with me, but I feel totally ashamed of my life. But, you know, God's been good to me because when I had cancer and they prayed for me, that cancer went away. When I was in a position, they were going to send me to Bradford to live or down to Nuneaton to live. And the people at Grace Church wrote letters to the council saying, Michael's commitments are up here, his family's up here, we need him up here to live. God had a hand in that, because when I went on the pro board gave me pro that the council had to find me somewhere to live. And to believe it or not, God found me somewhere to live in Bognor at Bursley Green Court. And I've never looked back since, and I've got wonderful people with me. And I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. I've got a wonderful flat now, a wonderful home to live in. I've got wonderful people, wonderful friends of Grace Church, the Gideons up Worthing, and Pastor Wenger, and everything's fantastic. I just can't believe it because I've never led a life like this. I've never had a home of my own in my life, but I have now. And praise God and thank God for that. Thank you very much.
That's great, Michael. That's great. I like the thank you very much. Michael's a big fan of Elvis. Healing. God brings healing. And actually, when the church is the church, people's lives are transformed. It changes people's lives, and that's great. Next up, saw him on the guitar earlier. It's Jordan. So where are you, Jordan? Can't see you. Jordan, let's give him a round of applause. Welcome him up.
I wrote this out the other night, but looking at this morning, it's quite long, so I'm going to chop some stuff out on the fly. So it might be a bit disjointed, but... So Simo popped round my house a couple of weeks ago. Cheers, mate. We started talking to about jobs, about work. My job's changed recently, and he thought it'd be quite good to share this morning. So I thought I'd rewind a bit more to give a bit of background. So I started school. I was the laziest person on earth, pretty much. Couldn't be bothered with anything, didn't want to do anything, just didn't care about anything. I met Stacey, my now wife, at the start of GCSEs. She'll probably give you a more accurate date on that. But my mum thought she was a good influence on me, so she was pretty happy. Teachers loved her, but they were less favourable towards me. Finished GCSEs with 5 GCSEs. So I just couldn't be bothered at school, didn't do anything. Although, I'm not sure if it's technically 4, because English, I've got English language, English literature. I'm not sure if that counts as 1 or 2, but I count it as 2, because it means I've got 5 in. So, didn't know what I wanted to do after GCSEs, hadn't thought about it. So I thought I'll try and stay on to sixth form and master GCSEs with some A-levels. But they weren't so keen with 5 technically 4 GCSEs, and most of the teachers hated me. So I begged them, and initially they said I wouldn't be suited to it. Don't know what that means, but eventually they said if I could get the teachers to let me in their classes, they'd let me do it. So I had to go and ask the teachers if they'd let me in. So eventually I could find 3 teachers that would let me in. You're supposed to have 4, but I couldn't get 4. They all said no. So I did 3. Stace pretty much dragged me through the A-levels, because she did them as well. Passed them all, just. So finished that in July. I thought, what am I going to do now? Same question again. I thought, I've got to get my priorities right. So I'll stay in bed till Christmas, worry about it next year. So that was my plan at the time. So that went well for about a week. Then my grandma rang my dad, as she'd seen an advert in the paper for an open day at Chichester College, which my dad tried to get me to, and I thought, well, that sounds a lot like school. So I wasn't keen on that, but he sort of forced me down there eventually. So I went into a big room, sort of similar to this, really, with all the courses dotted around the room. And I thought, in my head, I thought, I'll just do a lap, out and gone. I'm assuming God had clocked this plan. So I took about three steps into the room, and this lovely woman called Janice pounced on me and literally accosted me, dragged me over to the electrical stand, gave me all the spiel, and then said, we know an employer in the area. Do you want us to call them? And I was like, if you want. And so two weeks later, I had a job, which was in August. I had to write up about it. I didn't even get to see the summer out. I think that's probably God laughing because I was too lazy before. But so I started as an electrical apprentice in the August. Absolutely hated it. I'm sure there's people who have done apprenticeships and know what it's like. Well, you get absolutely abused. So I got torn apart every day. That went on for about a year, and obviously I had a particularly brutal beasting one day because I was moodier than normal when I got home. I was thinking I was going to quit the next day. My dad said, you know, what's up, what's going on? So I said, I absolutely hate it, I just despise it. And he said, never hate anything God has given you, which has stuck with me, I suppose. So I didn't quit. Shortly after that at work, there was a discussion on the radio about religion. I was asked my thoughts on it, at which point I said, I go to church, or I'm a Christian or something. At that point, I think even the radio cut out. Like, it went dead silent. And, like, everyone just sort of went, looked at me, and I was just like, great. Just loaded the gun they're going to shoot me with. But so I thought it was bad before that, but it really got turned up to 11 after that. But I stuck with it anyway, thinking, I know God's put me here for whatever reason. I'll stay here till a door opens. So I did that for 12 years. It was a long stint. Went up through the ranks, ended up as site supervisor for that company, which made it easier in a way. But I was still thinking, am I going to be doing this forever? Because I didn't even want to do it in the first place. So I thought I'd fire out a few applications to different companies, different roles. So I sent out about 15, I think, applications. And I got about 7 or 8 responses back. Most of them are rubbish, but one came back, which was sounded good, which was an electrical project manager. It was a bit closer than where I was working at the time, so booked an interview with them. And the day before, I got another phone call from a company, which sounded good, but it was a bit of a sidestep to what I was doing. It was sort of a similar role. So I was quite honest with them. I said, I've got this other interview, I'm going to go for that and see what happens. Did the interview the next day, and they phoned me up about 10 minutes after I left and offered me the job. I thought, great, this sounds like God. This sounds good. So I spoke to a few people. I spoke to my dad, and he said, just make sure you pray into it. And I was sort of like, yeah, all right, Dad. So I did. I said the prayer words, but did I really pray into it? Probably not. I sort of made my own mind up that, yeah, it's God. This is where he's leading me. Great stuff. So I started with the company. It was a retail company, so they do food outlets and shops around the country. So I got put on the co-op and KFC team, doing the co-ops and KFCs, believe it or not. And it was just horrendously stressful, like ridiculous, just horrible. I felt ill, like, most of the time doing it. I knew almost instantly it wasn't right. So I did that for a couple of months. And I was listening to UCB on the radio driving in one morning. I think I'd done like 12 hours in the office the day before, and then all my jobs were night work at the time, so I had the guys on site on the phone till like half midnight as well. So I was driving in, I had like matchsticks holding my eyes open. And I wasn't really listening to the radio, but a line sort of jumped out at me. He said, God's going to put you in situations that are no good for you, to force you to lean on him. And I was just like, yes. I was at the time, I was like literally praying, just like, get me through each hour. But went to work, obviously. A couple of hours later, I got a job email. I get, like, loads of job emails every day from those 15 applications I sent out. I get, like, 50 jobs a day come through now. But I always just delete them. But this one, I opened it, clicked on it, and just flicked it up like Wheel of Fortune, you know. It sort of scrolled through them and slowed down. It stopped on the company that rung me the day before the interview a couple of months ago, or 3 months ago. So I got straight up, went outside, rang them up. I said, is the job still available? And they said, no, but there's a higher position that's just opened up. So he said, I'm free today if you want to come in and speak. I said, yes, definitely. So I went over there, and they offered me the job that afternoon. So I can't really see any other argument as to how I got the job other than the father, because looking at the facts, I was the laziest person on earth, got rubbish grades at school, didn't even want to do the job, was on the brink of quitting many times. I've got no experience in critical power, which is what this company does now. I've got zero experience in doing that role, and I'm now the highest person electrically in that company. How does that happen? So I can't do anything but give him the glory for that. Cutting some bits out, I'd say make sure you pray into situations properly to save yourself a lot of grief, and never hate what God has given you. I do.
Super. Isn't it great? God can work on your character. Yeah, God can work over time as well. That's not a 2 day event. That's ages, really, really, really long time that God's worked in Jordan's life, and he's just helped him and guided him. And in those situations that are hard, isn't it great that God still is holding on? God still is with you, even when you think, forget it. Like, God's still with you as you go through. Next, we've got Caroline coming up. Caroline, I'm gonna hold the mics just so that Caroline.
Can I hold the mic?
Yeah, you can hold the mic. That's fine.
You can sit
down. Okay. So Caroline's just gonna share.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Caroline. I visited this church for the first time a few years ago. And then I thoroughly enjoyed it, because it was a church did. And it's lovely to see everybody here this morning, especially Joe. It's everything creative. The life groups made a big difference to me, including John and Mary's, and Kimmy and John's. Meant I was able to get to know people and make friends. I really like fitting in at Grace Church. One example, particular example, where God spoke to me, is the camp morning. Do you remember the camp morning we had here, and not here, but at the university? It was a camp morning for the people who came to camp. And the video of the Philippines trip touched my heart, and I felt the Holy Spirit upon me. The camp morning challenged me about my spending and how I spent my money. I felt challenged to do the camp course, which Izzy might be interested in. And I'm thankful to God for what he's done to me in my life. So that's one of my testimonies this morning.
That's great. Isn't that great? When God's church is at work, yeah, it supports people, it reaches people, it touches people, it creates community, it creates family. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to spread the gospel. We have got Tom coming up. So this is Tom. Tom's been part of Grace Church for about 2 years, year and a half. And he's just going to share a bit about what God's done in his life over a nice long period of time, isn't it? Yeah, I'll leave it with you.
Thank you. If I sound a bit nervous, it's because I am. All right. I nearly bottled out this morning. I became a Christian when I was a very young man, when I was about 20. I knew Jesus died, but I didn't know why. When I discovered the truth, I come bouncing into the church. I wanted to get involved in anything and everything. I'd send books to people, write to people, talk to people about the Lord. I had friends in prison from school. I'd write to them and send them books. And I felt the Lord was calling me for that. I had the privilege of seeing my sister, my brothers, my mother, all came into the church, got baptized. That caused a bit of problems at home. My dad argued with my mum once and said, if you get baptized, we're getting divorced. So she got baptized anyway. But for about 10 years, I was very involved in the church, and I thought everything was fantastic. My life was great. However, by the time I got into my early 30s, I started to lose interest in things of the Lord. I don't know why. It wasn't a one-off thing. I just grew cold, fell away, you know, got mixed up in alcohol, drink, you know, women, the usual things. I never really got into the drug scene, but many of my friends did, and about 8 or 9 of them now have died. Well, I just lived a sinful, selfish life, and as the years passed by, I forgot about church, and it became very irrelevant. And I remember about 6 or 7 years ago, I think I was talking to my sister at the time, and I said, look, I'm finished with church. That's my old life. I didn't hate church. It was just irrelevant. I couldn't see any point to it. That was my old life. I was finished with it. I collected a lot of books, tapes, videos, teaching materials and everything, and I decided I didn't need them anymore. So I put them all in a black bin liner to go to the dump. And the last thing to go in was my Bible. But just as I was about to drop it in, I didn't hear a voice, but I knew that this wasn't to be thrown in the rubbish, you know. So I put it back on the shelf and forgot about it. A few years passed, and about 3 years ago, I had to have surgery for something, and the surgery wasn't very successful. I had to have it again. I was off work for about 4 months, and during this time, things happened in my life. Another couple of friends died. I was sitting at home feeling sorry for myself, and I started to question where I was going, what my life was about. I even wondered what the point of being here was for. One day I was looking at something on the internet. I shouldn't really. It was a bit inappropriate to be looking at. I don't need to go into details. I'm sure you know what I'm referring to. And I felt God very clearly say to me that he was unhappy with me and things needed to change. So not only was I miserable and feeling lonely and questioning everything in life, I had God on my case now. Well, one day, out of desperation, I suppose, I picked up the Bible and started reading it. And I read where Jesus was speaking to a large group of followers, and he said some very challenging things, and a lot of them left. And he turned to the disciples and said, what about you? Are you going to leave as well? And good old Peter, true to form, Peter spoke up and he said, well, where are we going to go, Lord? He said, you are the one with the words of eternal life. And those words hit me in the face. I knew those words were true. Sorry, I'm getting a bit lost here. I knew those words were true. And have you ever heard a song and it goes over and over and over in your mind? Well, it was like that, but it lasted for days. And then the words seemed to come back to me. And it was as if the Lord was saying, well, you know I have the words of eternal life. So where are you going to go, Tom? You know, who are you going to call? You know? So I started to speak to people, look around. And I knew really I needed to come back to church. But I thought, well, if I did go back, people are going to judge me and say, where have you been all these years? You know, you've got a cheek showing up here. That's how I felt. I also used to think that heaven might be an eternity of church meetings. And, you know, I really did not want to come back to church at all. But I couldn't get those words out of my mind. And as time went on, I really knew I needed fellowship. I needed to be around other Christians. And through a friend, I found out about Grace Church. And so about a year and a half, maybe a bit longer, I've been coming here. Not last August, the August before, I was out drinking with some friends, watching a band. And I hadn't decided to stay out long because I had work the next day. It was a lovely hot day. One pint led to another. Before I knew it, it was dark. I was drunk. And in my wisdom, I decided to cycle home. So I was cycling home, drunk, no lights on my bike, going along a street with potholes in it. Recipe for a disaster. Next thing I realised, I was being picked up off the street. A few friends I know had found me lying in the street. And next thing I know, the paramedic was there, and I said, look, let me go. Let me get on my bike. He said, if you go home now, you'll fall asleep and you won't wake up. He said, you're bleeding badly. If we can't stop the bleeding, you're in trouble. So I shut up, went to hospital. I ended up with 25 stitches in the top of my head, 5 stitches in my eyebrow. I broke my hand, and I was a little bit bashed up, you know. Around this time, Rob and Callan, 2 friends I knew, both died of drugs overdoses within about 8 or 9 months of each other. Now, as a Christian, I'm supposed to feel that the Lord spared my life because he looked at me, loved me, and he's got a plan for me. And then what about Rob and Callum? Did they die because he didn't care about them? I just think we make decisions in life, and sometimes they're not good decisions. The decision I made to cycle home drunk nearly cost me my life. The decisions they made to get into the drug scene did kill them. Well, praise the Lord, I made a full recovery from a surgery. I made a full recovery from a road accident. I'm back in church. I'm learning about God in a new way that I did before. When I was going through this awful time, I did ponder my past and think, well, was I just playing with church? Was I really saved? You know, and all this was going through my mind, you know, and I'm now learning to trust God in a different way, you know. In this last 6 months, just I've realized that I've got so much to be grateful for: my health, my life, my family, my job, everything, far more than what I've got things to grumble and complain about. And I've often thought, if the Lord does nothing else in my life ever again, if he doesn't bless me with anything, there's one or two things I think would be nice if they come along, but if they don't, I'm still always going to be grateful that I'm spared the sheer horror, the terror of going to hell to pay for my sins, because I know Jesus has paid the price for me. My mum passed some years ago, but my dad's still around. He's 85. We're still working on him. And I like to think the Lord might bless me with a long life, but the Bible says tomorrow is promised to nobody. And those words are really real to me, like the words I read of Peter. No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next month, next year. Having said that, I've got an excited feeling for myself and for the church. Just a gut feeling that this is going to be a good year for me. And so whether I'm here for decades or just a few years or whatever, I'm hoping that I'll get to know the Lord better. This time round, my life will be of more use to the Lord in whatever time I've got left. Thank you very much.
Isn't it great when God's on people's case? You really might... Tom's story might resonate with you quite a bit. So if you're somebody who this morning who's come in and gone, oh, yeah, that really speaks to me, we'd love to chat with you. If you just feel that you've just gone away from God or that this seems irrelevant, we'd love to chat with you. And foundations, like we spoke about earlier, is a great way as well to just discover more. What's this Christian? What's Christianity really all about? So that would be cool. We've got our youngest one. We've got Jolie coming up. So coming up, Jolie.
Hello, everyone. When my dad asked me to do this testimony, I said, yeah, why not? But then a week later, when dad told me, yeah, you've been put down to it, I started worrying and stressing. Even when Johnny was in the car and he spoke to dad about it, I was like, oh, I can't do it anymore. I don't know what to say. I'll be an awful speaker. But then my mum started speaking and praying with me. And I realized that I don't have to do it in my own strength. I can do it in God's strength, because everything I've been through this last year and he took me through, I didn't do it in my own strength. I did it through God's strength, because without him, I wouldn't have got through the year. So that leads me on. Last year was a really difficult year for me and my family, because in the beginning of the year, my dad went to hospital And then 2 weeks later, after he was out and he was doing better, I went in. I had a couple of operations. It was really difficult because it carried on for months and months, and I was thinking, what is going on? Although I had some strange peace about it, school was really difficult as well, because every time I'd go back, I wouldn't know what I was doing. I was in my GCSE year, so it was really, I was really like, am I going to get through this? I had other family saying, oh, you might have to redo the year, which was really a stress for me, because I knew what I wanted to do, I knew where I wanted to go, and it was just so hard for me to just be stuck in a place where I was like, what's going on? So it carried on, although in one of my operations I feel it was God sent, because we found out something that is vital for my future, and that was really great, so I thank God so much for that. But yeah, it went on for a couple of months, and things weren't getting anywhere until we went to the hospital and they started giving me treatment, and I finally started to get better. But when I went back to school, it was difficult because obviously I didn't know what I was doing, and they allowed me to have extra time, which was so much helpful because So then when it came to my GCSEs, I was scared because I hadn't been there. And each of my GCSEs, when I got the papers, I prayed over the papers. I was like, Lord, please, I know that I may not do this, but Lord, please have your favor on me in these exams. So then when I came out of the exams, I still had a strange peace. I don't know why. Everyone else was stressed. My friends were like, why are you so calm? I was like, I don't know, because I haven't even been here. But yeah, so I came out of the exams, I had summer, and I was just not really thinking about them that much, because I just thought, well, if I have to redo them, I'll redo them, it's fine. And there's this college that I've wanted to go to. I went on and on about my parents about it as soon as I found out about it. It's called BIM. And I was just thinking, well, if I don't get to go there, then I just don't get to go there. My year has been crazy, so... And then... the day we went to West Point, we went to the school and I got my exams. And I didn't want to open them in front of everybody because I was nervous about what was they were going to say. I was going to wait till I got back to the car and then open them. But my head teacher came up to me and said, Jolie, I want you to open these right now. I want you to open these. I was like, please, please don't let me open these in front of everyone. And she was like, Jolie, I want you to open these. So I opened them and I was just like, this must be the favor of God, because I passed everything I did above and beyond what I ever thought I could do. And that I can only say is through God's favor. And then I spoke to Dad, and then I was able to go to BIM, which is the college I go to now, and I'm really, really enjoying it. And I can just say throughout like the whole of the last year, God really, really carried me, and without him, I wouldn't have done it. So... yeah, if you're ever in difficult situations, always trust in God, because he will always carry you through everything, because he's awesome and he deserves all the praise.
God is good, even when it seems like he's not. Isn't that great? I don't know. I love the word BIM. That's a good one. Next up is Izzy. Izzy is oversees our CAP stuff, which we're going to talk about, stuff, and she'll explain it.
Right, like Johnny said, I do want to speak about CAP, and it's been the biggest change that I've had this year. So let's talk about these changes. Some of you might know what CAP is and the life skills that we do here. It's an 8-week course, and it aims to support people on a low income. It's written by CAP, not by us, and that's Christians Against Poverty. And as a church, we've become partners with them to take this course into the community and to empower people with the practical skills while showing them God's love. But let me start from the beginning. It was well over a year when I first heard about this course, but right from the start, I was excited to know more. I'd brought an idea to the church, and we looked into it further. A group of us were praying about it. one of my very first pictures that when I had, when I was praying for this course, was of a lighthouse, and how I felt God had said to me that he wanted to touch the community with the light and stretch it out as far as this light would go. Time was racing past, and I had been on many training courses, but as I was getting to the end, I started to have doubt creep back in. The last session I was training, I remembered questioning it. If it was for me, was I up for this role? I remember asking God and saying to him, if this was where I was meant to be and he wanted me there, he needed to show me a sign. Something else, something, anything to confirm and to reassure me. And that's exactly what he did. Right before I came home from this training, there was an opportunity for prayer. This young lad came up to me and prayed. And after sharing, he said, I have a picture for you. And I really work well with pictures. It was of a beacon stretched out far as he could see. It wasn't exactly my lighthouse, but it was the confirmation that I needed. So now I had this information, and I was just needing to put it together. I was wondering who was going to come on this course, who was going to help me, and however I was going to do it. But every step along the way, God met me. He met my needs. He showed me that he was in control. He pushed me when I wasn't doing enough. He stopped me when I was going too far. And throughout it all, I knew he was there with me. So the day had arrived, and I was up super early. I had those butterflies in my tummy, and I wasn't sure if I'd forgotten to do something. But we were all set up, and the team around me had prayed that it ran smoothly, and that we were expecting these people to come through the door. And I just kept praying, oh, please, Lord, if anything, please let them get them through the door. And sure enough, there was prayer answered. The first person walked through the door, very shy, not sure what they'd signed themselves up for. But we all sat down with food, and we started to get to know one another, talking about what the course entailed. There was a real sense of peace, and I went home to reflect. I couldn't believe it went so well. See, the problem is, I'm still surprised when God meets my needs and he answers my prayers. I know there's nothing too big for God, and I still pray to him every day. I try to listen, I try to be obedient, but still, his love to me just blows me away. Everything I needed, God met with those needs. The venue was available, the right day was given, the perfect amount of people signed up. The team that helped me each week were there, they worked so hard. See, even when somebody texted me the night before to say that they couldn't make it, somebody else would just come along, just off the chance to sort of see if they could lend a hand, and it all worked out. I had an amazing support from the church. They helped me with PowerPoints, which I've never done. And it was quite tedious for them, I can assure you. So as the weeks passed on, there I was, waffling about this information that I'd been given for each session, when I was told by somebody that they'd learnt from a budgeting skills session and how that they put it into practice, and they couldn't believe the changes that they'd had in their finances. Then another opportunity came along, and somebody else came to me at a prayer meeting. Somebody who wasn't even on the course came up to me and shared these cooking skills that we'd been taught the week before. I couldn't believe it. The word was getting out. There they were, sharing tips, and as I can say, possibly even they did a mini bake-off from the skills that they'd learned, which is amazing. These are real-life changes and practices of techniques that were making a difference. I know many of the team have been changed by this course, and it's only the first one, including myself. But I still sound surprised. This was God's plan, to serve one another, to tackle poverty, and to show love and share the gospel. That's what's happened. That's what this course is all about. I could see so much change in these people and in myself. Relationships had grown, friendships blossomed, confidence was given to these people and myself, life skills in everyday form. I've been blessed to be such a part of this. I'm encouraged. I will encourage anybody who is thinking of doing it. I'm really excited as I plan for the next one. And if I can do one thing, I would like to pray and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you for pushing me. Thank you for strengthening me and getting me the confidence that I can listen to you, trust in you, and build my faith. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
If you are interested in life skills, do go and see Izzy and she can give you tips or things like that. We're going to have, I do believe, this is our longest serving member in Grace Church, I think. So I'm going to hand it over to Linda. She's going to talk about her year this year. But I think she's our longest serving member. I do come and see if she's not. But I think she is. All yours. All yours. Let's welcome her up.
Hi, sorry. Quick background. Many of you know my late husband Peter had very complicated open heart surgery 15 months ago and initially made a good recovery. However, as a result of a complex set of health issues, several months of tests, weeks in St. Richard's, he passed away in August last year, a few weeks before our 50th wedding anniversary. Peter's final hospital stay was in Brighton, where he underwent a seemingly successful bypass operation for an aneurysm in his arm. However, following morning, he suffered a massive stroke, declined rapidly, and we were told nothing more could be done. He never regained consciousness, and I stayed by him throughout the next 7 days. I could say a lot more about that, but I want to tell you about how God can use every situation. When younger daughter Miriam and her husband Mark arrived from Bolton, one of the staff nurses, James, was intrigued by this northern couple and asked Mark what he did in Bolton. Mark's reply, "Well, I'm a church pastor." James said he thought that sounded like a really interesting job. Older daughter Jo and husband Steve Petch, another church pastor who many of you know, arrived and we spent time praying for Peter, laying the whole situation before God. Staff nurse James was never far away. Peter was moved to a private room for palliative care and where I could stay by his side. They say hearing is the last sense to go at the end of life. So as well as talking to Peter, I played Christian music on the iPhone, read scripture and prayed with him. There was a real sense of the Holy Spirit's presence in the room. As nursing staff came in to care for Peter every few hours, they all picked up on the sense of peace in the room. This initiated conversations about our faith and about Grace Church. Some nurses recognised the music, and I discovered one had been to CCK in Brighton, another went to Holland Road Baptist Church. A young Latvian nurse said she was nominally Orthodox, chatted for a while about life and death, and then came and put her arm around me while we listened to It Is Well With My Soul, which was playing at the time, and said how encouraged she was by our conversations. The senior consultant visited far more often than their job required. She'd wanted to know more about my faith and always asked faith-based questions. Conversations often revolved around how fearfully and wonderfully we are made and about God's amazing creation. Staff nurse James was no longer responsible for Peter's care as he was based on another part of the ward, but he called in on his way in or out each day. He said it was to check on us, but he always asked about Mark and Miriam and their work in Bolton or about our family, church and faith. He kept saying God wouldn't be interested in him because he wasn't good enough. I told him God cares for him, cares about him, that he's made in God's image. And by the way, none of us are good enough. On what turned out to be Peter's final day, James called in to say he was going on leave for a few days. He said that deep down he always felt there was someone out there. I told him I'd been praying for him and encouraged him to sign up for an Alpha course at some stage when he's ready. I pray that he does because I truly believe God has his hand on James's life. With God's help, I was not only able to face the challenge of that very difficult week, but was able to see God's hand reach out to others. God has a purpose for everything that goes on in our lives, and he will be glorified in any circumstance. We can be a blessing to others in any situation. Let's not miss the opportunity. As John Robbins reminded us when preaching about Esther, "And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" God will give you the power you need, no matter what. Thank you.
Amazing. Even in tough years, God still is good all the time. We sang it this morning. This next one's a little bit different. It's our last one. And this one's a little bit different. Do you guys want to come up? So, John and Molly. This is John and Molly. Come up, guys. So at the moment, it's going to be John. Molly will join him in a minute. John wanted to share a bit about where they're going to, what's going to happen, because this is hoping, to be their last Sunday with us. So I'll let John, you explain, and then we'll chat some more. So John's going to explain why they're moving, where they're moving to.
Well, first of all, Molly and I want to say thank you so much to all of you for the 5-6 years we've been here in Grace Church, particularly in Bognor, for your fellowship, your friendship. It's been great fun. We've enjoyed it. And as I said to Johnny on the phone this week, we're not really leaving the church. We're just moving, changing address, because we're always part of the church, aren't we? And if any of you want to come up to Ipswich, then you're very welcome to come and see us. Early in our marriage, about 45 years ago, we had a bad time with Molly, had a number of miscarriages and lots of different mission things. We were living abroad at the time. Molly's mum sent us a little plastic wall plaque from Zephaniah 3:17. It was a literal translation. He is silently planning for you in love. And we've carried that verse with us wherever we've been. It's always been up in our bedroom. It's always been in our house somewhere. He is silently planning for you in love. And over this last year, this verse and the verse from Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, have become so real. Our children have increasingly said to us, come on, Mum and Dad, it's time that you move near us. You're getting to your late 70s now, and we'd like to have you around. We couldn't persuade them to come to Bognor, so we had to move to one of them. And so we're going to Ipswich. We trust on Thursday night afternoon, they'll load our stuff up, and the house will the cottage will become ours on Friday. We hope, we think it's been like that for so many times, but I think it seems quite certain this time. We started our moving journey the end of 2017. 15 months ago now, after these long conversations with the family, we decided it was move, it was right to go, we should go, sad as it was to be leaving you all here in Bognor. We had really no idea of costs, possibilities, etc., but we thought God was in it, and we were assured that we'd sell our flat within weeks. And so in April the 18th, we put it on the market, and within weeks we'd packed up half of it, boxes were here, there, everywhere, and we begin to think we'll be moving soon. About 4 months later, we couldn't quite understand why we couldn't sell it. But slowly we began to realize in it all that there was no way financially we could move. It was something that was far too expensive, even though Ipswich was cheaper than Chatham and certainly cheaper than Chichester, it was still going to be difficult to move. And we slowly realized that God was going to have to do something. We were quite challenged by the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, where he asked his disciples to do something about it. And it says in Scripture, he already had in mind what he was going to do. And we felt God say to us, you know, when you try to work things out with your limited resources, you know, you're going to come unstuck, but wait for me to do it. And we began to realize, God, what are you doing in all of this? Sadly, at the same time, my dear mum, 97, she suddenly deteriorated, and much to the shock of us all, because we thought she was going to go on to at least into her hundreds, she suddenly died sooner than we expected. And so we began to realize that the whole things were being fitted together, and God, who was silently planning in love, was holding us up until the other thing happened. And we knew then that with my mum going, 5 kids in the family, we were all going to get some extra cash from the inheritance. And so suddenly we realized, that's what you were doing, God. It was your plan. You were working it through. Well, we had a break in August from trying to sell the flat. We were a bit fed up with boxes and everything else. And then in September, we put it back on the market. And, of course, we sold it within 2 weeks. And because of the, you know, we had the little bit of extra cash, we thought, yes, we're going to be able to buy something now. We put an offer on a house that was perhaps slightly better than we'd expected. But very quickly, it became so difficult. The roof needed to be replaced. Costs were threatening to spiral. And we suddenly realized we were out of our depth in this. And what were we going to do? This wasn't what we thought. There was funny delays as well. Surveys and things weren't coming through. And then while we were at Life Skills, and Izzy mentioned Life Skills, I want to well recommend it. Molly and I were helping with Life Skills. We'd thought over the years that, yeah, we really had got a hand on our budgets and finances. God had helped us so much from our mission days in coping. And then suddenly one day in Life Skills, the phrase came out, keep within your means. Keep within your means. And suddenly we felt God say to us, you know, that's your problem. You've stretched it too much. And so it was a breakthrough for us, a release. We let that other house go, and suddenly, this was a Monday morning, suddenly we felt released. But the problem was, we'd already sold our flat. It was going on. It was now, I can't remember the month. When was it, Molly? We sold the flat in September. This was October, I think. It was getting a bit panicky anyway. What shall we do? Well, we went flying up to Ipswich again, and God led us amazingly within a couple of days to a cottage which our son Nick had found. I don't know why we'd never seen it. And he said to us, well, Dad, whatever you think, I'm going to go and see it, even if you don't want to go and see it, because I think it's ideal for you. And I went thinking to myself, I'm not going to like it. I don't like it. I don't want to go there. You know what it's like. And it was absolutely perfect. It was just where Molly and I, when Nick first moved to Ipswich, we said to each other, if ever we moved here, we'd love to live just there. And this cottage is right in the middle of just there, where we always felt we wanted to live, just round the corner from where he was. So we were really near the family. He had everything we needed, loads of character, a bit quirky, just like us. And it was really so good. And also, it was a load cheaper, and we'd have money left. Wow. Wow. The last bit of the journey of this thing that God has taken us through, of knowing that God's got perfect plans, was last week or week before. As you know, we've got a bit of a famous car. It squeaks and groans and all sorts of things. And as I told Molly's relatives, my car became very sick. It wouldn't open its mouth anymore, so I couldn't feed it. In other words, I couldn't open the bonnet and I couldn't put water and oil in it anymore. And I had an oil leak. And I was thinking, how long will it be before it all leaks away? Dear old John spent some time helping me to try and open up. We used, and so I ended up with a bonnet that was like that in the end. It was a little bit crooked on one side. And last week, Nick had said to me, even before Christmas, Dad, I think you ought to buy a Skoda from the Skoda garage around the corner. I said, it looks good. Yeah, I will. But I'll wait till I've moved to Ipswich, because this old car can take all our rubbish up to Ipswich and it won't make it dirty. You know what it's like. I was a bit proud about it. Last week, I went up there on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, I woke up panic. Oh, Lord, I don't know about cars. I don't know what to do. I've got to buy a car tomorrow. I've got to buy a car this morning, Wednesday. The second car we saw was absolutely perfect. And to make Molly even happier, it's got heated seats. Oh, it's wonderful. And, you know, it's everything we could have wanted. You know, God was silently planning in love. God has perfect plans. And we still haven't got the confirmed moving date, but we do feel that God has been working out this year for us. All this thing, I know the plans I've got for you, God says. I know the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future, and a future. God is silently working it out. And I think the thing we've learnt this year, well, I know the thing we've learnt this year, is to keep relying back onto God's word. Read it, learn it, digest it. Let it permeate your life. Pray it. Remind yourselves constantly. Pray it back to God. Believe it and trust it. And talk about it with God. Over this whole year, last, Molly had this picture of a rosebud. You know, we love flowers, and this new house has got a garden, by the way, which we're very happy about. As a child, Molly would try to force a rosebud open. And if you did that, there was no beauty, no colour. You just forced it open. It never really began to smell. It was never a rose. It just fell to pieces. But when it opens at the right time, it becomes beautiful, full of colour, full of fragrance, and bears much fruit. And I think God taught us that. Well, I know God taught us that over this year. He's silently planning love. Trust him for his purposes. God will, he knows what he's doing. And I remember saying to our estate agent, I don't know why we've not sold it. He said, nor have I. I said, I do believe God has held it back. He said, yeah, I do believe the Chinese believe that there's a higher power. And I thought, no, I'm not talking about Chinese and higher powers. I'm talking about God. God taught us not to rush, but let him do it in his time. He is silently planning for you in love.